Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. How are you today?
Good morning.
Our scripture today is about Jesus meeting a leper. And when I read the scripture, one word just jumped out at me and gave me problems. It was in verse 41, where it says, Jesus was indignant that this man came up to talk to them. Now, nothing's in the Bible by mistake. So I started praying about this and trying to understand why the word indignant. The only way I can explain it is that every time Jesus healed people, more people came and more people came to be healed. And he knew his mission on earth was to be our Savior, not our healer, although part of what he does is heal. So it leads me to believe that the reason Jesus was indignant was that he wants us to come to him first as our Savior, and then second as a healer. Please listen to Mark 1, 40 through 45. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, the man went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter the town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Please bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
And I really do think we live in a world that canonizes celebrity, builds it up to a place of importance that it really should not be in. It no longer matters how much a person has accomplished in this life or contributed to society. All you have to do is become famous in today's society, in today's world, is keep yourself somehow in front of the media. We have people who are famous simply for being famous that have done nothing. People, and best example I know of, is Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie. And they became so famous that they got their own reality show, The Simple Life. And I think that's a perfect name for it. Also, know the names ripped from the Hollywood gossip columns, such people as Kim Kardashian. And if you go research her background, look at how she got famous, and now young girls everywhere are worshiping her and idolizing her. Jack and Kelly Osbourne, simply for being Ozzy Osbourne's children. And Kevin Federline, what did he do? He married a rock star, a female. People who are famous simply for being famous. Fred Allen, some of you remember him. Some of you may not know who in the world Fred Allen is. I think in this congregation today, most of you do. Once quipped that a celebrity is one who works to be known, then wears dark glasses so no one will know who he is. When the late Walt Disney was asked what he thought about being famous, he replied, "It feels fine when you get a choice reservation at a football game, but it never helped me to make a good movie or to command the obedience of my daughter. It doesn't even seem to keep the fleas off my dog. And if being a celebrity doesn't give me advantage over the fleas on my dog, then I guess it doesn't mean that much after all." Disney was a very sensible man, and he was able to put life into perspective. But I suppose celebrities serve their purpose. They make life more interesting for those who identify with them. You know, a few years ago, this football season just being over, And many people still talk about a 1985 year, I believe. Isn't that the year that the Chicago Bears won the Super Bowl? Is that right? Well, we don't. Most of you don't know because we're Pittsburgh, most people here. I think that's the year. And do you remember a man called William the Refrigerator Perry? Most people remember him because he was on Johnny Carson. He was on the World News. He was on the Today Show, all kind of networks. And why was he all of a sudden famous? Not just because he played football, or not just because he was so large, but because he became the first defensive lineman in the history of the National Football League to run for a touchdown and to catch a pass for a touchdown during the regular season. First ever. And then in the Super Bowl, the odds were 10-1 against him running for a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and he ran for a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And he became overnight, not exactly overnight, but kind of an overnight sensation. And he made $750,000 at least in other fees, not just playing football. Meanwhile, his mother said, "I know he was good, but he wasn't that good." And then his wife said, "That was great for a while, but now it's ridiculous. It's gotten out of hand." Men, it takes a woman to remind us who we are, doesn't it? To bring us back to reality sometimes. Perry himself says, "You know, it comes as fast as it goes." And now every once in a while we hear a mention of Perry, sometimes around football season, but he's kind of slidden away out of our consciousness. One thing Jesus did not want to be, he did not want to be a celebrity. That was not his thing. You can see that in a lesson for today. A man with leprosy came to him. The man got down on his knees in front of Jesus and said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And he talked about being indignant. But Jesus was filled with compassion. And Jesus wanted the man with leprosy to be healed. Jesus wants everyone who is physically or emotionally or spiritually sick to be healed. All of us. He wants everyone who is hurting in any areas of their lives to be made well. And maybe right now you're hurting in some area of your lives, whether it's physical, maybe it's financially. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe your house, you want to sell it, and it's lost equity. It's gone down in value. Maybe you're hurting somehow emotionally. Maybe your child has turned his or her back on you, or maybe they've gone out and are in drugs right now. Maybe something is really hurting you. Because people hurt in a multitude of ways, and none of it is what Christ desires for any of us. It is not God's will for any of us to have leprosy or cancer or heart problems or whatever pain that you may have in your life. It is not God's will, I don't believe, for any of us to suffer. That's why God gave us the gift of Jesus Christ and he healed those people. Then it's why he has given us the gift of medical science for us today. God wants us, I believe, to live free from disease. But Christ did not come into the world to be a medical doctor or a psychologist. There was no way for Christ to be concerned with everybody's physical body when he was here upon this earth to heal everyone that needed him. There was not enough hours, not enough days in the week, and he knew he was only here for a limited time to minister. He would have just had to sit in one place and just stayed there and prop him up and just healed and healed and healed and healed and healed. That does not mean that he was not willing. It was simply a practical impossibility for him to do it. Besides, healing individuals was not his primary mission on this earth. He didn't want people to suffer, but neither did he want to be lured away from his primary goal and his mission. How many times have you been doing something and got lured away from your primary mission, and sometimes you never even got back to it? Something took you away from your goal. His primary mission was to establish the kingdom of God in our midst here upon this earth. His primary mission was to preach and to teach and to instruct his apostles, those 12, and then the other disciples, so they could go out and do it, and then it multiplied, and then it could go out through all the earth. And that's still the mission today for us to be doing Christ's mission upon this earth. But notice what happens in this account with the man with leprosy. The man says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reaches out his hand and touches the man. "I am willing. Be clean." He wanted it. He wanted to do it. He cared. And immediately the leprosy left the man and he was cleansed. And then notice what happens. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you do not tell anyone, but go show yourselves to the priests and make your sacrifices the way Moses told you to do at the temple." That's the proper way. So what does he do? He's human. He goes and starts telling everybody, "Jesus healed me of leprosy. Look at me, I'm cleansed. Now I can go back out into society. I don't have to live in the leper colony. I can go out." As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. He had to hide from people in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Here was the real mission: to spread the good news of the coming of the kingdom. But his success as a healer stood in the way of his primary mission. Perhaps that is the reason that 9 times in the Gospels, particularly in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus tells people to keep quiet about who he is or what he has done for them. Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead, one of the most amazing miracles in history. Then what does he do? Mark says that he gave strict orders not to tell anyone about it. Man, if I just raised somebody from the dead, I don't know what I'd be doing. But I want to tell, hey, go tell everybody I raised somebody from the dead. He healed a man who could not speak or hear. Then he tells the man, "Don't tell anybody that I healed you, that you can hear and you can speak now." The man can talk now, so what's the first thing he wants to do? He wants to talk and he wants to tell. But it wasn't just the people he healed. In Matthew 16:20, we read, "Then he warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ." We call that the messianic secret. And again in Mark 9, following that spectacular event on the Mount of Transfiguration, we read as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone that he was the Christ until he was raised from the dead. Sounds strange. In our society, when people do something good, they usually want everyone to know. We do have some people that do things and keep it private. But the last thing that Jesus wanted to be was a celebrity. Unfortunately, celebrity came to him, and one of the reasons he was taken and nailed to the cross was because he was a celebrity. Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders started learning more about him, and the more that they learned about him, the more they were threatened by who he was. He was a threat to the powers that be. "Don't rock the boat. Don't do it. Go with the flow. Don't upset the apple cart." Still, when Jesus was confronted with someone who was hurting, he could not help but heal them. Why? Because he cared. He embodied the love of the Heavenly Father. "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one." So when the man with leprosy said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean," Jesus could not help but say, "I am willing." Writer James Hume tells a story about a man, a friend of his in Washington, D.C., who woke up one morning to find his left arm paralyzed. Wouldn't move, couldn't feel anything in his hand. So he rushes to Bethesda, to a doctor who ministered to presidents and Navy brass, and the doctor told him about his arm and a heavy accent. He replied, "Do not fear." I can't do accents, but "You have come to the right place. See that certificate on the wall? I was graduated from the University of Vienna." His friend said, "Doctor, my hand, I can't feel a thing." "It is nothing," said the doctor. "I am an expert in the field. See that other certificate? I was elected to the Royal Academy of Neurosurgeons. But doctor, did I have a stroke? I can't feel anything." "Be patient. Don't interrupt me. You're in good hands. See that other certificate? For that, I address the World Institute." With that, Hume's friend walked out the door and decided to go see his neighborhood doctor, who told him, "Trevor, you slept on your arm. It just went to sleep. You're going to be fine." See, the world-famous neurosurgeon was too interested in pointing out all his degrees and his diplomas and pointing to himself, but the neighborhood doctor cared about his patients and cared about the man being well, his physical, emotional health. Jesus cared about people. Even if it gave him less time for preaching and teaching, he couldn't help but heal. He could have just said, "No, I'm not going to heal. That's not what I'm here for. Just go away. Leave me alone. I came to preach." It ultimately cost him his life, but he just couldn't pass by people who were hurting. Jesus could not pass by people who were hurting, and they in return could not help talking about the wonderful things he had done for them. And the more they talked, the more their friends came to Jesus, the less time he had for ministry. We could say it was a vicious cycle, but it was anything but vicious. Jesus simply cared too much for his own good, and people who encountered him were always touched by him, and they simply could not keep it to themselves, even when he told them to be quiet. I think you and I can understand that. We may have been the same way. You know, if Christ has touched your life, especially in a very dramatic way, it's hard to keep quiet about it. I know when I came to Christ, it was a very dramatic experience for me. And I said it a long time ago in a sermon when I came here, probably two or three times. I kind of feel like they should have locked me away for about two or three years. I was just probably aggravated people to death about accepting Christ. I was so enthusiastic. I had to learn to calm down because nobody wanted to hear anything. I was just so overwhelming about it. I had to learn to be more relational about it. Sometimes it's hard not to tell everybody. There's a woman who was in a nursing home, 92 years old. I'm going to cut this short. She was very sick, diabetes, amputated her feet and toes and feet and legs. Had a lot of pain. Some days she couldn't even really get out of bed, and she'd go to bed to her chair. Then the days that she felt a little bit better, she could get in her wheelchair and roll herself around in the nursing home to visit other patients. And that's what she would do. She would take a sense of joy and go visit the other patients, and she would pray for them, and she would help them. Even though she had all this pain, all this suffering, she would become a light to them, play games with them, help take them if she could, get them up to go, and she would tell them about Jesus Christ. She had to share the joy that Christ had given to her. Think about that. What a wonderful thing to do. Her desire was to draw attention to her Lord and her Savior, because she felt that Christ had touched her in such a wonderful way, even in her sickness and her pain, that she wanted to touch other people. And so Jesus' acts of healing validated the message he came to proclaim. Jesus came to proclaim a kingdom in which people would live in peace and love with God as their king. The response of the people to his acts of healing was inconvenient, but ultimately it helped drive home the message he was all about. People came to see that God loved them and cared about them, and that their needs and concerns mattered to God. There's a true story of a tragic accident or a tragic shooting that happened in Chicago right outside of the hospital. A 15-year-old boy. Hospital policy, you cannot go outside of the hospital doors to help anyone. You have to call 911. They saw it happen, could see the boy, they called 911. Policeman inside the door, couldn't do anything. After 20 minutes, he couldn't stand it. He got a wheelchair, ran out, got the boy, brought him in. The boy died. Policy overruling love. And I don't know all the here's and there's of it, but I do know one thing. I can promise you, Jesus Christ would have gone straight out, regardless of the rules and the regulations. He would have got that boy, and he would have done something for him. That's just sad, sad to me. Because Jesus has already given his life to save that boy and you and I. His acts of healing, his acts of sacrificial love validated the kingdom he came to proclaim. His message was not of a God who is remote from our needs and concern, but one that is active in our lives today. His message was of a God who has come near and is working in the hearts of those who are open to receive him and what he has to offer, a new way of living, a new way of loving, a new way of helping, a new way of service and ministry. And we, the church at Glenshaw Valley, need to be open to these things. How can we minister to our community? How can we minister to one another? Find new ways. Always have always worked, but be open and do it. Let's do it. Let's minister to people. Let's grow, not just because we want to have more people to fill the aisles, but we want to touch, genuinely touch people's lives and take them into the kingdom of God and take them into the gates of heaven with us. May God bless you. Amen.